This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, April 9th, 2020. Maundy Thursday, by Father Jason McCrimmon.
For I have given you an example. Dear Lord, keep the doors of my lips, and I will sin against thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Many years ago, I took a literature class in college. It was very many years ago. And much to my dismay, the teacher assigned a romantic novel that was to be read and analyzed, culminating in a very large paper that would count for 50% of my grade. Now, having remembered my high school years, there was only one type of book that I loathed more than Shakespeare, and it was romantic novels. So as I opened up the book, Pride and Prejudice, I cringed at what I was going to have to finish. But I determined at that time that I would put aside the childish behavior of the past. I would press on, read the novel, and get an A. This was out of the norm for me, not getting an A, but reading a romantic novel. It was different. It was something I wasn't used to, and I really felt as if it was painful. So I read slowly and deliberately. I digested hours of BBC plays, and I even looked over the notes of others to make sure I'd gotten the point right. And eventually, when pride set in, and I thought I wrote an amazing paper, imagine my surprise when I was knocked off my high horse and I found red marks all over it. It turns out that the famous author Jane Austen is not for whom the city in Texas is named, and consequently, if your default spelling comes from that great state, you can expect a B no matter how good the paper is. After all that hard work and all I had done so completely out of the norm for myself, and to receive that paper back as I had not desired, it became humbling to me, and I vowed to never forget that lesson. 2,000 years ago, the disciples sat in a room, and they witnessed a single event that so completely changed history and was so completely out of the norm that it should have been noticed by anybody who passed by. The institution of the Eucharist was so completely different for any act of the monarch in history. The giving of himself, body and blood, for the sake of his followers would have been unheard of for any common man, much less a king. And it explains why his disciples could not understand it at the moment. They couldn't grasp the importance of what they were witnessing and what they would partake in. Just a few days earlier, the entire city wanted to proclaim him king. And here he was, giving his own body and blood for them. From that moment on, it became the unifying identifier for all the people of God, that when we come together, it signals to the world that we are united with him and in him. But that was not the only lesson learned that day. There was a demonstration of that giving that followed. There was an act that showed his disciples what it meant and what it means for each of us on this night, which we normally call the Maundy, or the washing of the feet. There would be chairs lined up at the front of this altar rail. Men would be chosen out of these pews, and a priest would come before each of those men, stooping to wash their feet. We do this in remembrance of what Jesus did. We remember how he immediately followed the institution of the Eucharist by stripping down, tying a towel around his waist, and washing their feet. I want you to think about that for a second. The God of the universe bent down before his servants to wash the filth, the smell, and the grime from each of their feet. Have you ever smelled a stinky shoe, especially in gym class? It isn't pleasant, and it is always certainly beneath a king. This demonstration was so completely out of the norm from the actions of a king. This was so out of the norm that no monarch would ever do this. It is not how the world operates. We live in a world where power and prestige equal authority, where those who are achievers do not have to degrade themselves before those they consider less than them. But Jesus does not operate this way. He does not operate according to the ways and means of this world. And to demonstrate that, he bends down before them, taking that lowly spot, taking the role of a servant in the greatest demonstration of charity and love. This was not something done, and the reaction of Peter demonstrates this. No, he states, I will never allow this, demonstrating the feelings of every disciple that is present. But that is antithetical to Jesus' words. That does not show an understanding of his teaching. That forgets his statement that the first will be last. Because in the kingdom of God, Jesus shows us that we are all so loved by the King himself that he would kneel down and wash us. And it gives us a model of how we are to live our lives each and every single day. Jesus institutes this Eucharist and then demonstrates it to us, how those who desire this Eucharist should live. And when we don't, he gives us a word of admonition, a word of warning, a warning that states, those who do not do these things will have no part in him. How poignant in this time. How eerily prophetic, considering we are all being kept from him. Jesus says, I have set before you the example on how to live, and if you do not, you will have no part of me. What is interesting to me is the slew of reactions that I have heard just in a couple of weeks from the people of God. We could all speculate that much of what we are experiencing right now is rightly just deserved. The world is very far from God. Sexual sin, violations of gender roles and reality, divorce, flagrant disregard of the Ten Commandments, the murder of children, and then lighting buildings up to celebrate it. These would make the most worst monarch in the world cringe at their bold behavior, much less the righteous king of the universe. And what is especially bad is that the bride of that king has likewise acted. Disregard for the Eucharist, flagrant sin, unspeakable evil against children, and a host of other sins coming from the one who claims to be the spouse of this benevolent ruler. Is there any doubt that the world suffers because we have failed in our calling as his bride? But it's the reaction I am referencing. The reaction that says, like Peter, and I paraphrase here, that will never happen. You will not do that to me. I am one of yours. We insist that we should not be denied. We insist this is wrong. But we never begin that conversation like our Lord. We often forget that we are part of that larger body of Christ, that a little leaven permeates the whole loaf, that Daniel, when he prayed, said, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity, and we don't view the possibility of our own sin in all of this, and we never begin with that posture of kneeling before him, admitting our guilt and sin, and acting like a servant. Is this a terrible thing to endure? Is it a painful pill to swallow? You better believe it. The bride should never be without her husband. And it is a painful thing for a priest to see each and every day, so much that it brings tears to the eyes of both he and I. But Christ did say, unless you are like him, you have no part in him. And that sin may be made up of our own failure to live according to his commands. So many of us want the joy of Easter, but we never desire the command that came on Thursday before it. This word monde means command, and it is not negotiable. It is not a like to do. It isn't something we do when we feel comfortable. It is a command for every day of our lives. And what God did by washing the feet of his disciples was demonstrate on and show us how we are to live out that command. that for those who wish to have a part in him, for those who desire the Eucharist, you must demonstrate a willingness to serve, not rule. See, living as if we are an authority unto ourselves really makes us an anarchy. It sets us apart from God and imposes chaos on the world. But Christ's rule is not like that. His rule states that if any of us are to be great, then we must be the servant. And in this act, he does not say he does not have a right to rule. He does not put aside his own authority. He is still their Lord, as he reminds Peter. But he shows them that his authority has established a new way of living, a way that is characterized by humility, recognizing of our own sin, repentance, kneeling before him, and serving, just as he commanded us to do. Giving up of ourselves so we can demonstrate to the world around us what it means to serve the risen Lord. At times, we have sinned unknowingly or unwillingly, sinning against our Lord without the intent or knowledge of having done so. But other times, if we are honest with ourselves, we have defiantly stood up like Peter and said, "It will not be this way. Not if I have anything to say about it." And the sad thing is so many people within the Bride of Christ do not even recognize it. Now we as a church, we as his bride, need to set our face to follow the rest of Peter's example. We need to say, "Wash me, wash all of me, wretched man that I am. For I do not deserve to have a part of you, but I know I cannot live unless I do. So I will do everything in my power to try to make it right." Maybe then we can celebrate the joy of Easter. Maybe then we'll be made new and clean. Maybe then this terrible scourge will end. Remember, most oftentimes the people of God will say, "God feels so very far away from me." Remember that he has not changed, that he has never moved, but instead it is normally us who have packed up and left.